Hello, and welcome to Kitchen Table Theology. I'm your host, Tiffany Coker. Along with my dad, Pastor Jeff Cranston, we are seeking not only to help you know deep, solid biblical theology, but to know the Word of God and the promises of God that are given to us in His Word, all while holding to solid theological truths in our heart, soul, and mind. Before we get started today, I want to take just a second to thank you guys, our listeners, for leaving ratings and reviews. We're so grateful because that really is what helps us get the word out to other people to hear about Kitchen Table Theology. We're also very thankful for our friends at Columbia International University. For 100 years, CIU has been educating students from a biblical worldview with the goal of impacting the nations with the message of Christ. They have undergraduate, graduate, and seminary programs, both on campus and online, specifically designed for working adults. You can check all of that out and more at ciu.edu. On today's podcast, Pastor Jeff will be continuing his conversation with Marquis Laughlin. Marquis is the founder of Acts of the Word Ministries, a nonprofit ministry dedicated to transforming people's lives through the words of the Bible. Marquis travels all over the United States performing dramatic solo scripture presentations. You can find out more about Marquis and his ministry at the link in the show notes. Also, if you missed the first part of the interview last week, I invite you to go back and listen to episode 163 for the first part of their conversation. Let's get started. Thanks for joining us at the table.
Tell us about some of the purely secular audiences you have been before and you continue to do that. What's the general response?
Yeah, a couple of months ago, I was in Queens and a pastor there said, yeah, we do the street fair every fall. And we want you to come and do parts of Revelation and John is at a street fair. And I said, is there any sound system or anything? People are just walking by and they're going to sit down like in your tent or what? Well, how does this work? So it literally was a street fair. It was in Queens and it was packed with people and people eating and doing all kinds of things on both sides of you. And it's okay. Give them to your thing, Marquis. I'm like, really? So I get up and start throwing down. And we were able to talk a few people to come in and have a seat. And they were hot and wanted something to drink. So they'd come in and sit down. But I found it interesting because I could immediately tell the wheat from the tares. Most Sunday mornings, you're looking around and you preach a little bit. Sometimes you can figure that out. Sometimes it's more obvious than others. But this, every time I do something in a totally secular environment, the believers right away are like, because they can hear that. Like, what is that doing here? You know what I'm saying? And they're light up and their faces light up and they're like, yeah. And the unbelievers are walking around like, you're not even talking. You know what I mean? So it's, you can see who has ears to hear and who doesn't. And they're so grateful that it's, you've got water in a desert and everybody is thirsty, but some people have no idea that you have the water and others do. That's what it's like. It's the secular environment. And the Lord showed me that early when I did Revelation in England. He was at a fair and the host of the fair, the owner of the property, had these gardens that people would come out to see every spring. And it was a castle that he had bought and with this big piece of property that people loved to just go tour. And so he had a festival and he said, I'm a believer and I want to be able to share the gospel with these people. I have six different tents with six different people doing performances and stuff. And I want you to be one of them and you just do the scripture. And so I'm like, I'm thinking I'm at a totally secular event. I'm in England and what am I going to do? So I picked every 15 minutes, you'd go in and do a little piece and then you'd give it 5 or 10 minutes for people to empty out and the next set to come back in. So the tent held maybe 150 people. It was a pretty good sized tent. So I thought I'll do my first piece on heaven, Revelation, the end of Revelation. I'll describe it. And that's a beautiful thing. So that should be interesting to see how they respond to that. So I got up there. I started Revelation 20, started talking about the heavenly city. And people were leaning forward. They were so thirsty to hear it. I was amazed because everybody was like, wow, that is a great story. Where is this from? Where is this place? How could I go? And then I got to Jesus's words where he says, who won't go. And as soon as I started saying his words, it's like the Lord flipped a switch. It was like I was in a room full of people who about 20% of them were believers, and they were still hanging on Jesus's words. But the rest of the crowd, about 80% of the crowd, completely changed. And literally, I could feel that Jesus's words were literally hurting them. It was like holding a cross up against a vampire. And the people started cursing. They got up and they were so uncomfortable, they ran out of the tent. And I thought, is this what it looks like when you're about to be stoned as a prophet? I'm not getting out of here. Looking over my shoulder. There's a little crack at the bottom of that, but that bar looks pretty hard. I don't know why I can squeeze myself out the back. So I remember that. It was, wow. And then by the time I finished, half the crowd had ran off. They were literally cussing. It was like demonic. And the rest that were there were all believers. And, oh, yes, thank you. And they were clapping. But it was the wheat and the tares separated right away. It was a weird thing. But maybe that's an England thing or where I was. It was the strangest response I've ever gotten to the word. But it was in a secular environment. And I think God's word has that dual, double-edged sword thing. It divides. It separates. And it calls people to him. And it hardens hearts. There's a two-way purpose God's accomplishing when you preach the word. It's if he knows a person's going to reject him, that word's going to literally be hardening that person's heart and pushing them away as opposed to pulling them. So it was a weird response.
That's not surprising, but to see it that in such a visceral way.
Yeah, I felt so naive because I could just feel, quoting Jesus, when I was saying his words, he was saying them through me, and I could feel the effect they were having on each person. Totally. And they were, it was weird. It was demonic, but it was just, that's the power of scripture. Sometimes we underestimate what's going on. And most of the time, I think we really don't know what God is doing, and we don't know what we have in our hands. We're holding the word of God and how powerful it is. But every once in a while, he'll give us a little sneak and remind us. I won't forget.
You not only go into environments where there are many unbelievers, but many times you're in houses of worship, you're in churches. And as this podcast drops, you will have just been, Lord willing, at our church at Low Country Community Church in Bluffton, South Carolina. And our folks love you. But as you're in all these churches, you're meeting a lot of pastors, talking to a lot of church leaders. You're out in the lobby or the concourse or the foyer or whatever afterwards, and you're talking to people. And when you're in front of an audience as much as you are, and I can sense it too, having done public ministry for 40 years, when the people sitting before you are with you, if they're hanging on every word, if they are nonplussed by it all, and they're just being kind and not getting up and walking out. So you really can sense that. But beyond that, what is your sense of the biblical literacy in our churches today? We've talked about that a lot here on the podcast, that I feel personally it's waning at best. Probably it has, I don't know if it's waning, it's waned. We're in a post-Christian country now.
Yes, clearly.
So what's your sense of the biblical literacy, where we're at in our American churches?
Look, I remember too long ago when you quoted the Bible, people knew you were quoting the Bible. And when you quoted the Bible in church, they really knew you were quoting the Bible. So you would, if you were going to do Genesis or John's gospel, they would know. And now I have to always make sure to remind people that this is what I'm doing. This is because people come up to me afterwards. Oh, that was a great speech. I like that speech. That was good.
Oh, that's
John's gospel. You're just like going, wow, they don't even know where it came from. They just think it's you. Yeah. You wrote it and you did it. Yeah, it was a good sermon. I've heard that. I'm like, it wasn't a sermon. It was just the scripture. So you can't make that assumption in a church now. So that is always makes you remind you that you can't have those assumptions and communicate effectively. I think that's part of the change that I've had to make is to try to connect the dots for people. So if somebody shows up on Easter, they have an idea of that it's connected to Christmas. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. In other words, there's a story here and the parts are important. And if you miss Genesis, then Easter and Christmas don't mean anything to you. Why are you celebrating Christmas? So to show Christ all the way through the scriptures and that this is a big plot, but hey, these are where these pieces fit and why. Here's why we're celebrating. Here's why we're happy about Christmas. Here's why we're really celebrating, because God's solving this problem that we had. You know what I'm saying? So you really have to try to make sure that people get that context of what you're saying. And when I do Revelation, I have to say, hey, we were here, then we were here, then we were here, now we're here. And this is what this book's talking about, what's about to happen. So to give people some sort of idea of where your piece of scripture fits in God's story overall is really helpful, because you can't just assume they know.
Right.
Know? Yeah.
No, you certainly can't. What suggestions? Our Kitchen Table Theology community here, most convinced are believers, and many of us don't have any kind of formal theological background or education, but are part of this community because they're digging deeper into Scripture. They're wanting to learn more about God and His Word. What suggestions do you have for us for ways that we can strengthen our knowledge of Scripture, our knowledge of doctrine and theology? And obviously, I think one of the first answers that would come from you would be the value of memorizing Scripture. Could you talk to us about that a little bit?
I think that was, for me, some people God sends to seminary or Bible college or whatever, and God said, I want you to memorize my word. And you're an actor, you realize very quickly that you're really a story detective. That the better you are at reading a story and understanding the parts and why people do what they do, the better you are at understanding the story, the better you can play the small part in it. So it's like an orchestra. You're in an orchestra and, okay, you got a flute. You need to know the whole piece so that when you do your parts, you know exactly how to do them. It's a director's perspective. And so that's really where I'm coming from. And I think that is, applying that to Scripture is huge, because so oftentimes we get focused on the minutia and we don't get real reason or how this relates to Christ and God's story he's telling, or what part, where it fits. The most important thing that they should know about the Bible is that God is telling a story and all of the pieces are there, and we need to try to come alongside over God's shoulder and try to see the story he's telling from his perspective. And that requires a commitment to understanding the narrative of each book and why did God put this book in the Bible? They're not there. It's not happenstance. They're there for a purpose, to reveal to us who God is and who his son is. It's that being a story detective is huge, because we could know the what and not know the why and have no ability to practically apply that or to understand why this may be a little more important than that to God, mm-hmm. from his perspective. So I think that taking that approach, trying to figure out, okay, what is God up to? He says he's done nothing without first revealing it to his prophets. Done nothing without revealing. He's told him everything he's going to do. Yes, he has. But where is that? It's in the scriptures. So it's like I'm doing Genesis. The creation account of Genesis every day is a game plan for what God is going to do through the ages of man. So it took me years to dig that out. I mean, that was common knowledge to the patriarchs and to the folks who wrote the Bible. That was culturally, they already had that. That was common knowledge. But that's been buried now. We have, so as the church embraced this, we're going to be around for billions of more years, because we've been around for billions of years, idea that we're floating in some vague time frame that's not, that just could it's loosey-goosey. God is very exact. He's done, he's planned everything ahead of time, even the works we're going to be doing, the good works to glorify himself. And he's laid it all out for us. And he's given us all of this information. That's how the wise men found Jesus. You know what I mean? They were able, they had this, the same information, and they got it. And they looked up and they could read the stars and said, yeah, this is, God put those in there for signs to mark seasons. And here's where we are on God's calendar of events. So to have context is so big to hang yourself on, all your theology on, to have that context. And that's, I think, the big key to what a lot of believers are missing that will really ground and strengthen their faith. To have some sort of idea of God's big picture. Remember when you learned about the seven feasts of the Lord and what they meant, and wow, you saw that in the scripture. Bible, wow, cool. That's the kind of stuff that to have some grasp of that big picture and how we're fitting into it. And that is going to be so critical when the storm comes and your faith is tested and all kinds of technology comes out to try to tell you that you shouldn't believe the scriptures and all kinds of things that are coming our way that are going to blow against, they're going to test whether we really believe God really said what he said. And the more you understand, okay, God is completely in control, the more you really get that, actually, because you've been studying the scriptures and you see it, the better grounded you're going to be able to deal with that, because that's what's coming. And that's why we're trying to build you up and to get you to go deeper and to understand God better, because it's the people who know their God who are going to do great exploits. That's what Daniel says. We're going to be the ones with the faith because we're going to have studied all the evidence. We're going to have reason to believe what we believe. So it's vital. We're in a day and age where our souls are at stake. There are souls at stake based on whether we go deep and believe this, because the wind is going to blow. Some people's houses aren't going to stand. There's going to be a falling away, and we're watching it happen right now in front of our eyes. We're watching this. Wow, look at the church. It's going like on all the charts. Everybody's leaving the church. The church is bailing. Churches are consolidating. We're not in the glory days anymore of sharing the gospel in this country. We're in a post-Christian society, and most of the world is in a post-Christian society. We're watching the persecution increase. So what combats that? Hope and faith. And we have to have that hung on somebody who's in real control, and we know they're in control. So that we're drilling down to get you fastened. That's what we're trying to get you fastened to. So that'd be my ask the big, hard questions. Ask God the big, hard questions to show you the answers to them, and he'll give you those. He'll open your eyes, and he'll lead you to those things.
And the more the word, the more the answers are readily to you, right?
And that's the word is, we're being Berean. So the word, where the Bereans were more noble, because they listened to Paul and didn't just go, "Ooh, it's Paul, we'll believe it." They went back and studied the scriptures and said, yeah, it says that right here. To make sure. And that's what we're called to do with things, and to sift them through that. So God's faithful. And like I say, he wants to share his secrets and reveal who he is. And I think he's going to do that even more and give us even more reasons to believe as things get more evil and darker. He's going to make that more obvious that he is in control of everything and be able to reveal himself in that way. So good stuff.
Amen. And how grateful we are for that. I can't thank you enough for joining us today on Kitchen Table Theology, Marquis. Tell us, how can we find you on social media, your website, and Kitchen Table Theologian? You've heard Marquis, but you really need to see what he does. And so all of that is readily available online. Marquis, how can folks find you, see you, listen to you, all that on social media?
You can find me, our website, at actsoftheword.com, actsoftheword.com. That's where you can find my schedule, my performance schedule. You can listen to me. If you go to audible.com, you can hear the entire New Testament, Proverbs, Psalms, Genesis. So that audio recording is there. And you can also listen to me on the Bible Prophecy Daily podcast, which is actually done really well. It's Dr. Alan Kirshner has put together about a dozen people to do a podcast. And it's good because he looks at our stuff and goes, okay, let's everybody gives 2 or 3 episodes a month. And now we have a daily podcast, and it's a great range of different people that are commenting on a variety of issues. There's some great people on there. And they all have in common their thirst for truth, and they're not wed to a book they wrote 20 years ago or whatever. They just look, I want to know the truth. I'm going to dig in. I'm going to keep looking at the scriptures, and they encourage us to keep watching too. So it's been a blessing to be a part of it. But yeah, that's how they can get a hold of us. There's another ministry I'm involved with called Last Days Overcomers. You can get that lastdaysovercomers.org. And just a blessing to be a part of a worldwide YouTube channel that is just reaching a lot of people to wake them up and prepare them for the challenges the church faces ahead. So lastdaysovercomer.org is the website for that. So good.
All right. We will link all of those websites in our episode show notes. So Kitchen Table Theologian, you'll want to go there and click on all of those. Go surfing. And there's a lot of meat out there for you, a lot of wisdom out there for you that is being shared by Marquis and others. Marquis, again, God bless you, sir. Thank you so much for your time. And thanks for your ministry over the last 25 years with Low Country Community Church and with me personally. I count you a dear friend, and we all wish nothing but God's blessing and continued fruit in your ministry.
Amen. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You've been listening to the Kitchen Table Theology Podcast with Pastor Jeff Cranston. Join us next time for more insights into biblical truth. If you'd like to know more on today's topic, please check out our show notes. If you have a question from today's podcast, kindly email us at pastorjeff@lowcountrycc.org. If you're enjoying this podcast, would you consider leaving a rating and review? We deeply appreciate your help in getting the word out. And be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or in your favorite podcasting app to continue this journey with us as we learn about and apply God's word to our lives. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time here at Kitchen Table Theology.